Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
I can't hear anything. The line is broken up.
Dacia, can you not hear me at all? Dacia?
Your voice is totally garbled. It's just like a whole lot of static.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see if I can try you on another line. You still cannot hear me? All right, I think she definitely cannot hear me there. So we are going to actually try her on another line. It is now 11, actually just 10, 12 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. Let's try her on another line.
Could we try a readout, please?
Hello, Desia. I hope you can hear me now.
Yes, I can hear you now. Good afternoon.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I do apologize. I'm not sure what was happening with that line because I could hear you. Unfortunately, you could not hear us. But here we are. Thank you so much. We're going to be talking about blended families this afternoon. Very interesting subject, that which we cannot avoid in this day and age. I mean, but more and more blended families are on the increase. And so it is a subject that really needs to actually be, you know, attended to. And to those who are joining us on the line, please do make sure that you engage with us on +27 734 703 520 if you want to have any commentary that you're making on the show, or if you want to ask any questions to our guest, do contact us on that line. It's our WhatsApp line. And of course, a blended family or step family forms when you and your partner make a life together with children from one or both of your previous relationships. And the process of forming a new blended family can be both a rewarding and also a challenging experience. Now, Desia, what are some of the things that make the children hesitant when it comes to blending a family unit?
Okay, Zama, before I answer that one, I just want to throw the cat amongst the pigeons, and then I'm going to step onto that. Just a few seconds, if you'll give me...
That's all right.
A moment. Okay. So what I wrote down here was, does the love interest have a police clearance? The reason I wrote that down is because we live in a very wicked age. And is the person pursuing you, or are they potential predation for your children? Whether it's a male or a female, just a question. And other things to consider when you're considering, you know, pursuing a blended family relationship is things like credit rating, bad debts, rehabilitation around, you know, finances. Questions like, where will you house your family, your larger family? Where are the children currently housed? And if they aren't living with you at the moment, when they come for the holidays or they... are moved in permanently, how do you house them? How are you going to balance the books? And also, have they met the incoming wife or husband sufficiently to make marriage at that time, whenever it is where you are at, viable? Or is it something that maybe the courtship needs to go maybe on a little bit longer, because it's going to be your family, it's your children now? And so I'm going to leave it over there. Because I just want to say, in an endeavor to be in a union, don't get scammed. And I'm just going to pause it right there, and then I'm going to jump to what you asked me now.
Okay, that's fine.
So what makes the children hesitant? First of all, it's the fear of change. It's a fear of the unknown. Because even though the two adults are courting and are making plans, it's impossible to come up with every possible scenario or future challenge or so on. You know, you try to cover all the bases, but there is fear. Children do fear their lives changing, and so they will, you know, possibly push back. There's also a fear of being displaced or replaced in the existing family structure, depending on the ages of the children coming in. You know, you may think similar age children are the best fit, but they may prove not to be, because the developmental stages are the same, but the personalities are so varied. So there's all those sorts of things that, you know, children may push back. If they're older than 4 years old, you're probably going to have some because now they can speak, you know, they can say how they feel. And then also the loss of their existing unique family identity, however they as the children perceive or experience it. It might be little things, whatever those little things are, but they may feel that when these people become my brothers and sisters and this person becomes my mother or father, will we still do this or that in that way that they have come to love and feel comfortable from and draw a sense of belonging from? So those are just some of the things. I'm not going to list every thought that one last thing we'll mention and then we can chat about it. Should the family governance, and I put it in inverted commas, be different to their own, then because one parent may choose a certain way to apply the guidance we get in the Word of God and the Spirit of Prophecy to the family life, to another person. We can all apply or misapply things as we read, because we're free moral agents. So sometimes children are hesitant because they are seeing, oh no, this is the way this person is engaging with their children. It may make them feel unsafe or or reticent or unsure, because maybe it's done differently in their home setup. So those are just the four pointers I put down around that one.
Quite interesting. Quite many things that you mentioned there, and of course, quite a lot to chew. Upon.
Very much so.
Yeah. Now, but Desia, tell me, what would then be some of the challenges that commonly, come up, in blended families? I mean, and just generally.
What you're going to find most likely, and this is just experience speaking, because when you've lived as long as I have. You've come across many couples who have blended and things like that. It's usually little things. It's little things that can become such an issue that may lead to I wouldn't say a tantrum, but an outburst of we don't do it that way, or we don't do it this way. So it can become like two camps, and us and a them, or my father or mother always allowed us to do this or that or the other. They'll say to the new parent, that's coming in. So I want to encourage people who are forging ahead, on bended knee to blend their families, that there is a cycle of team building, or a cycle of behavior that happens when there's change, when you deal with change, when you're teaching, when you're training change. It's called storming.
Okay.
Forming, norming, and then you get performing. So when you are in your storming phase, there are going to be storms. But how you handle those storms is going to determine to a large extent how quickly you reach a point where you start to normalize the changes and the transitions that are taking place. And then, forming is the next stage. So then they start to form bonds. They start to recognize each other's personalities and quirks and traits. And so it's up to you to provide settings where these things can happen. So as much as you're forging a relationship between the two adults, you're going to have to cater to all these other little humans and their dynamics, or grow more older humans, whatever it is. And then after that, those are one of the two most painful stages, as your storming and forming stage. Then you start normalizing, the norming thing, where things start to settle down. It's a give and a take. It's a sorting it out. And then your units, your new family unit, starts performing. It's not necessarily linear. It can be a bit in fits and starts. Certain things may be forming while other things are normalizing and other things are performing. But as long as the two of you remain united as the head of that family unit and you pulling in the right direction, they'll follow. They will follow. I found a lovely quote here. I'm going to share with you.
Before you go to that quotation, before you go to that quotation, you said it's a storming, forming, norming, and which one is the last one?
Performing,
yes. I missed that one. Yes. All right. Yeah. So please go to the last one. I mean, your quotation.
Okay. So this is a lovely one I found. I don't have someone to accredit it to. It's just a meme. It says, family is family, whether it's one you start out with, the one you end up with, or the family you gain along the way. So it's important for us when we are, blending our family with another person's family, that we start to see them as family, not as steps and half brother and my step this and my half son, my stepson. No, it's your son. It's your daughter.
Yeah.
Because you chose to be with that person's mother or father. So you don't get to half and step and divide and all of that. It's all of yours. It's your children now. It's the way you are one fleshing with this person you're married to now. Their children also have to find a place in your heart and in your everything. You know, your heart has to be tender and soft toward it. So that's just a quote I found just to wrap up that talking point.
Now, Desia, you've spoken to us about the challenge. And the next question, and I think this is coupled with a question that I've just gotten on the line with Anonymous. How does a couple approach the subject of discipline? That is, who disciplines the children? But does a couple say, you discipline your child, I discipline mine? And how does that apply to any future children that the couple may have together?
Okay, I'm just going to jump down to that one because I did make my notes. Okay, so what I noted down on that talking point is that by the time you marry each other, you know, who's going to be doing what or how you're going to be doing it, that should already be in place. The courtship phase is the time where you start to sort and iron out that. So, what I would say is, like, at the outset, say, you know, in the early meetings where you're bringing your ones along and the other person is bringing their little people along. I'm just saying little. I'm just assuming we're talking of younger people. But it could be teenagers for that matter. It doesn't really matter on the age of the children. Let the parents of those children handle the discipline of their child. In the beginning, you know, those first meetings.
Yeah.
You know, that first outing to the zoo, to the picnic, to whichever. Let them, because you also yourself need to see how they cope with certain things. Also, they're nervous, they're awkward. You can assist them maybe by distracting the child or asking them a question or engaging them in activity or something, but don't just slide in on the first meeting. Now you want to correct the child because you now so in love, you love bombing this man or woman so much now that you just want to take over and you know, start ruling the roost. No. Calm down. Let the person gently, you know, and you watch. And don't judge. Don't judge the methods they engage in because you are also assessing and appraising because this is a person that's your love interest. This is a person you're taking into your heart and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as this relationship now is maturing, you can then begin to form, your disciplinary standpoints and discuss your views and the whys and the ways and where to strengthen the other one's weaknesses. And you must also be open for the same. And that is where good communication is going to become very critical in a couple that is bringing their families together. You have to take time. You know, now this is not that first love of the, you know, the sweaty hands and the hot and heavy, you know, this is not the childhood love. This is a grown love. This is a love that is pursuing responsibility. This is not a love of jokes and, you know, kisses in the moonlight and all of that. Yes, you'll have lots of those. But your purpose is kingdom purpose. It's eternal destiny purpose. And you've got to see yourselves as ministering to the eternal well-being of children because you're a single parent. So your communication is going to be very important. And there can be no more yours and mine when you sorting out yourself. you all are married, it's your children. And because if you're never going to make it your child or your children collectively, it totally defeats the purpose of even considering bringing your families together.
Yeah.
Now, because together you are a family.
True, true. Now, I've got a question coming out on the line here, and I think this is going to be our last talking point from Anonymous. It says, how best to navigate the situation where you're feeling a pushback from the child, or the parenting approach between the two parents is divergent?
Okay. Well, okay, let me touch on it this way, okay? A lot of the pushback is going to depend on the ages of the children or the age of the child, okay? So there's going to be proper two-way communication between the two of you and lots of prayer. But the one thing that you also need to teach the children and as you're interacting with them is things like Galatians 5.
Mm.
Because when you speak of the fruits of the Spirit, children can also manifest the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You can ask your child, are you being loving? Are you being patient with so-and-so? Are you being joyful? Are you, you know, all the elements, the peace and the faithfulness and the goodness. And where's your, and if all else fails, as I've said before, the last fruit that is in part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Then you exhibit self-control because we're forming something new here. The reason why you get the pushback, and I love that I found this point, and that some of us have made our children or our child the mini wife or mini husband in the absence of a wife or a husband. So the little girl feels that she is caring for her dada, you know.
Okay.
Daddy, are you okay? And you know, if she's old enough, she'll make him some toast and whatever. Even if she's little, girls naturally mother. Little boys, what do some single moms say? I'm just going to say it's a single mom in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, you the little man of the house now. Now the little boy is walking around like a little lord. Now here comes this big uncle.
Mm.
How? So I'm not a man after all. So his little heart now, he's not going to just simply now give over the throne of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It was never his burden. It was never her burden to bear. But we have this little mini wife, mini husband syndrome that we think with our kids, we bond with our kids, we overshare with our children. We confide in our kids, our problems, our challenges. And then when a person on your level enters that dynamic, that child feels usurped. I don't say it is the case of the person asking the question,
Yeah. But
this thing happens. So the couples should not only court each other, you know, you have to court the child as well. You've got to find ways to draw that little heart into you, and not by cheap manipulations and always coming with toys and sweets and chocolates and things, but by getting to know the mind and the personality and the character of this little person. I keep referring to them as little, but they could be tweens or teenagers, and then it becomes a totally different level of challenge. And the children also need to get to know each other, so there has to be lots of interaction between, you know, the two families and so on, because our children also have fallen natures. We think they're angels, but please believe me, when they stand up, they can show you that they too grapple with the sin problem. And so we need to approach them tenderly and not break them as we, you know, pursue wholeness in our relationships. I'll pause there.
Mm, yeah, and then you know, just to wrap it up, so this couple may have you know, been let's say been together while the children were perhaps fairly young and quite amenable to discipline and all of that, and as they grow, but they then discover that, oh, there's another mummy on the other side or the other daddy on the other side, and from that point onwards, so this is it's not a new as it were maybe a couple, but it's a couple that has been going on, but I think that as children grow and they perhaps become teenagers, etc., they then begin to think that, no, it's not my real mommy, this one, or my real dad. And so they've got a little bit of a push-up. Wherein you had actually won their little heart when they were younger, and as they grow older, there's now this resistance. I don't know if there's anything you can do there, is there?
You know what, I think the thing that we must never deceive ourselves, children are very resilient. Don't shield them. Don't shield them from your history. It's your history. You know, if you had children from three different women, you know where those children are. Be man enough, if you are in the man in this instance, to let your children know each other. Let them know the moms of those children, because those were unions that you entered into.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, if it didn't work out, so it didn't work out. Own it. Be humble. The problem is that we don't have humility. We want to create, a sort of like a fake idealized reality. But the world doesn't spare your children. And I say, be honest and say, you know, before dad came to faith, all right? So before I was baptized and I did whatever, and I had, as a baptized member, because whatever happened, say, previously in your previous life, it's not held against you. So say in this new union now, because the lady will know you've got other children, but maybe a new child won't know. As early as that child is old enough to understand, you must say around about age 4, 5, because children are bright enough then. Then you say, you know what, mommy and daddy need to share something with you. Before daddy married mommy, daddy had other children, and it is possible to have other children. I had other relationships, and you have other brothers and sisters. The child will ask you, how old are they? What, you know, when can I see them? Whatever. So as early as possible, don't keep it a secret until the child is 17, 18.
Yeah.
Now they find out auntie so-and-so round the way, and that one round that side, and that one in that area there is all my siblings. No, because you are building family here, and you want peace on your side. And the only way that peace comes is with truthfulness. And openness and honesty, and that can only come when we are humble, and we are sort of, we've made peace with what we have done, and then you can welcome other people, you know, into it and say, come and sit by my table. I need to share something with you so that you understand that this has been going on long before you came on the scene, and this is everybody. And if everyone understands everybody, and you have ensured that there is an understanding in your life streams, you know, then, you know, more the better for you.
Yeah. Well, Desia, we've completely run out of time, and there are so many talking points that we could have gone through. Really barely scratched the surface. But I do want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. Blessings to you and your family.
God bless you too, Zamat. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.